Hello and welcome. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the show where I review every science fiction book that I read, and then I read another one, and I review that one, and that's the schedule, really. Whenever I finish reading a book, I review it and put it up online in the podcast feed. If you want to know more about me, or about the podcast, or about anything else, just check out sfbrp.com, and check out the very first podcast in the feed as well. Episode number one, you can find out everything that you want to know right there. So, today's review is going to be of a book called Hunters of Dune. It's by Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson, and it was published in 2006. So I think this is the most recent book that I've reviewed so far. First up, normally on these reviews, I start off sort of with explaining the universe of the book, the kind of setting before I get into the story, but it's going to be very difficult to do that because this is written as the seventh part in a series of books. The first six parts were written by Frank Herbert, and then this is the seventh part written by his son and Kevin J. Anderson, meaning that if I want to fill you in on what the universe is like, I'd have to explain what's happened in six previous books, and I'm just not sure I can do all of that. So instead, I'm going to talk a bit about the history of the book itself and why it was written and how it was written. First of all, as I said, Frank Herbert published the first six books in the series, starting off with Dune back in the 1960s and finishing off with the last in the series, I think, in the mid-1980s. The first book told the story of Paul Atreides and how he sort of rose from a child, sort of grew up from a child, to be one of the most powerful men in the whole of this galactic empire. A lot of that was due to his connections and his background and his training, but also that he was genetically, not genetically engineered, but he was bred over hundreds of generations to be some kind of superman. And the sort of the agency that did this was an all-female sort of group called the Bene Gesserit. And that's the sort of main sort of thread of the book, but of course there's lots more stuff in there. The planet of Arrakis, Dune itself, the army of the Fremen, and all of that was just amazingly realised. And there's lots of politics in there, and economics and ecology as well. And the world is built perfectly. You know, you just believe it. Every single thing that happens on the planet, you just think, yeah, that fits in. And there's of course lots of battles and intrigue and corruption and double crosses and all of that kind of stuff. It's a classic book. The next books in this series follow Paul Atreides and then his immediate family, mainly his son and his daughter and other relatives. And then when a few books in, the series of books sort of takes a different turn and it leaves Arrakis, and you're no longer following Paul's line and his descendants. Instead, you concentrate more on the Bene Gesserit, and they become the main protagonist. And it's about how they are sort of trying to keep going and kind of keep surviving, trying to keep civilization going while these massive attacks come in from the outside. So that's the main thread of the book. And the books themselves, the first one I really enjoyed, the next ones are really good, but then, of course, less people read the later books because they get a lot denser and they're a bit more challenging. Still full of ideas. I enjoyed them, as I said, and each of them, like I say, even if some of them I don't like quite so much as the others, there's a lot of value in them. There's a lot of stuff to get your head around in them. Frank Herbert, he died, and he didn't complete the last novel in his planned series of seven books. He only finished six of them. So what's happened now is that his son, Brian Herbert, decided to continue writing, not that seventh book in the series straight away. He decided to keep writing in the Dune universe, though, and he teamed up with Kevin J. Anderson to do it. And first of all, they wrote three prequels to the first Dune novel. And it's sort of like one generation ahead of the characters that you sort of discover and get to know in Dune. And these books were called the House Atreides books and the House Harkonnen book and the House Carino book. They weren't as good as Dune, no way at all, but they were quite an interesting read in their own way, because, like I say, you get to know the characters not quite as well. You know, they're a bit more shallow, and the whole politics isn't quite so well realised, and there's not so much going on. But they're still pretty good books, and I didn't really mind, because although they used the ideas in Dune, you could look at them as a separate book. Then what a separate set of books, sorry. Then what Kevin and Brian did, they wrote another three prequels to those prequels, but these were set way ahead in the timeline of Dune, back in the time of the Butlerian Jihad. And that's the time when humans, they overthrow the robot overlords and the computer overlords that are keeping humanity as slaves. And they pass a law stating that from now on, computers and other thinking machines are banned. And that's what one of the things that really stands out about the Dune universe, these later Dune books anyway, is that you can, you know, there's no computers, there's no robots. Everything has to be done by humans, their brains. It's all about thinking and all about intellect and all that kind of stuff, which is I really like. Now, these other books, the Butlerian Jihad books, not as good at all. For the main reason is that I didn't actually care about it. These are like legendary events, and when they're referenced in the Dune books as these legends, like the Battle of Corin and the betrayal of the Harkonnens against the Atreides and these things, I they set up in your mind as these massive events, and then when you read about them, I just didn't care about it at all. And the humans in there, they're fighting against their robot overlords. I just didn't care about it. If the robots won in the end, I'd have been happy, because I sort of like didn't care. I literally didn't care as that much. Of course, you knew that they weren't going to win because it's a prequel, and I get what I call prequel fatigue, is when you're reading a book and you know how it's going to end, and it's just like, yeah, get on with it, yeah, get on with it, and you just try and get to the end. And the main like betrayal at the end, but by the Harkonnen against the Atreides, which is meant to be the reason why the Harkonnens are the main enemies of the Atreides and sort of like the evil enemies of the whole of humanity. When it happened, it was just sort of like a small misunderstanding. And the way that the sort of Battle of Corin took place, and you think it's going to be this fantastic battle, and in the end it's just like, drop lots of bombs on robots. Repeat. You win. And it's just that kind of thing. Really, really, really kind of disappointing. And also, like I said, I just didn't care about the characters enough, to the point where it was sort of spoiling my enjoyment of the Dune books in a way. To explain, I guess I'm just going to mention, like, in the first Matrix film, they're fighting to save Zion. And Zion is the place where all the free humans are. And you think, yeah, it's a good thing to be fighting for. Fight for Zion. And then when you actually see Zion in the second film, I just didn't care about them anymore, because Neo was risking his life and going into the Matrix to fight for just a load of, well, just lots of people that I didn't care about. Like, they were just sort of dancing to techno music in slow motion and stuff, and I just didn't care about it anymore. And I was literally at the point where I was like, I just let the robots win. And it's the same kind of feeling that I had with the Butlerian Jihad books, and they were very disappointing. And because, like I say, it was taking liberties with the characters and the events of Frank Herbert, and it sort of made me a bit angry. But I finished reading them, mainly because that once you've sort of started them, I bought the first two books, I think, when they first came out in paperback, so, you know, I was invested in them. So what's happened now is Brian and Kevin have found some of Frank Herbert's notes outlining the final book in his 7-part series that he never got to write. And like I said in last episode, I sort of had my doubts about this book, but I thought I'd read it anyway, but I didn't manage to finish it. This is the second book in a row that I just couldn't complete. The same with the Contact novel last time. This time I've just not got to the end, because it's just like, again, it's the same kind of reason. It's just chapter after chapter. Now, in the previous book, in Carl Sagan's Contact, it was like no plot and just lots of conversations and just lots of like teaching and preaching. And this book is the exact opposite. There's nothing going on except plot. They literally say this happens, then this person does this, and then this person says that, and then this, and then that. And there's nothing else. There's no subtlety. There's no themes. There's nothing being explored at all. It's just like this happens, then that happens, then this happens. And that's why I'm not going to go into the plot, because I just can't remember any of it. I could say some of it, but it's just so forgettable. There's just nothing to say. So I didn't manage to get to the end, because I just couldn't care anything that happens. I didn't care about the characters at all. And, you know, I just couldn't connect. And it's, for another reason, actually, is that there's just so much violence in the book. It's just sort of stated, this person kills this person. There's a battle here and these people die. This person does this. And it gets to the point where, like, one of the main characters just rounds up these people flying over them in the helicopters, or ornithopters, what are they called, and just says, kill them all, and they just shoot them all, and that's it, and the chapter ends right there. And it's like, it's just totally natural for this person just to kill hundreds of people just in cold blood. It's a massive contrast to the first book. I remember that when Paul Atreides, in the original Dune book, he kills someone for the first time, and his mother turns her back on her son, And it's just to show him that this is not a good thing, that he has the power of life and death over someone else. And in this final book, this Hunters of Dune book, there's just this moral vacuum. It's just, you're just looking at it, and I was just disgusted with the people. And these are meant to be the heroes of the book. I just didn't care for them at all. The world itself, or the universe itself, there's no layers to it at all. Everything that's taking place is on the surface, unlike the original Dune book, where there's like the layers. There was like people wanting the spice from Arrakis, and then on Arrakis they're wanting the water, so they're trying to trade water for the spice, and then there's money, and there's power, and there's influence, and then there's the guild that comes in, and they've got to supply the troops, and the troops do this, and they're borrowing troops and there, and there's just so many levels to the economics of the book. It's just really, really thick, and in this book it's all missing. Also, the technology itself in this book, it's just not explained. It's literally just, what was the technology at the end of the last of Frank Herbert's Dune book? And then you just continue that on. Nothing else is added. At least in the Butlerian Jihad books that these guys wrote, you were sort of discovering the new technologies. So when they came up with the Holtzman drive, you were there. When they came up with the spice, when they first discovered spice, you were there with them. When they came up with cloning, you were there with them. And in this book, nothing at all. It's actually so little technology or any science in this. I wouldn't even call it a science fiction book. It's just like pure... well, it's not even fantasy, it's hardly even fiction, it's just crap. Also in this book, there's this cloning process, which was explained in Frank Herbert's books. There it was, you can clone someone, and then you can somehow recover their memories, so they're not just the same person physically, they're the same person mentally, and you can use them in that way. In the Dune novels, that was always handled with restraints, that they could only bring back one or two people throughout the whole book. Whereas in this one, they suddenly find this capsule, and they've got genetic material from everyone in there, from Paul Atreides and the Baron Harkonnen and all these other people, and they just start bringing them back to life one after another. So it's not that they're just sort of taking the world of Frank Herbert and sort of destroying it. They're literally bringing back the characters that you really enjoyed finding out about. Even if you hated the characters like the Baron Harkonnen, you sort of hated him for a reason, and now it's just, you know, these guys are just bringing back these characters and just like slaughter, like everything just going out of them. The hearts have just been ripped out of these people. So there's absolutely no way that I'm going to finish this book. Mainly because that once this book is finished, they're not releasing June 7. They're actually releasing June 7 and 8. They spread out this story over two books because they said we had too much to fit into one book. So they're spreading it over two books. But for me, it's like they haven't hardly got enough for a chapter. Or put it this way, they've got enough plot to fill about seven books, but not enough life, not enough character. Like, it's all missing in there as well. Because Brian Herbert, even with Kevin J. Anderson, there's just nothing in there that could match his father's skill or most of the writer's skill. You know, all the subtlety is gone. There's no pacing. There's no suspense. You don't feel anything. Everything's missing. And this is the main thing for me, there's no sense of place. When I started reading, they're talking about this planet, and I just didn't have any feeling for it there as well. Frank Herbert, he could just write it. It's so amazingly that you sort of get a dry mouth from reading about Dune, because you just, every word that he puts down sort of conjures up dryness. Whereas in this book, they just said, the planet was drying out. Next chapter, this person kills this person. And that's all you get time and time again. And then sort of like you're told that a spaceship is really big, but you don't really get to know, you don't really feel how big the spaceship is. Unlike in the first Dune book, when you're told that everything that this whole dynasty owns fits into the one tiny corner of this spaceship, and that all these other houses and armies could be lined up next to them in the same spaceship, but they don't know because they're not allowed outside. You really get a feeling to how big the guild ships are. And in this book, nothing at all. So it's, like I say, he just can't match any other writer. There's two of them writing it. Surely they must have known that they're just writing crap. Really, because you're just reading it and you just think, this is terrible. It's just literally one of the worst books I've ever read. And Brian Herbert, I don't know how he does it. I mean, of course, like I say, it's just a paycheck for him. He just keeps churning these out, and people are just going to buy them just because they've got Dune written on them. But I just, it's like he's pissing on his father's grave. It sort of really makes me angry. I'd actually just wrap it up by a line from the book itself. I couldn't find it again when I just looked a few minutes ago. It's around about page 140 or 150 or something like that. And one character says to another, he says, the good name of your father is all you have, and don't spoil your family's reputation. That is one of the main lessons that one of the characters is being taught. And Brian himself has just forgotten that. All he's doing is taking his father's work and just spoiling it. I mean, it's not as bad. I mean, the other books that he wrote with Kevin J. Anderson aren't as bad because they're sort of, even though they're in the Dune universe, you can sort of set them aside. They're sort of separate. You can think, okay, well, this is a separate series of books, no problem at all. But this book, it can't stand as a standalone novel. It doesn't stand alone by itself because it follows on directly from Frank Herbert's books, and it just really ruins them. It's literally like you're just going along, and then you've just been pushed off a cliff, and then, aha, look at you, nothing left to do. So I'm going to give this book the lowest rating of any book so far. I said last week that you can't go anywhere but up from a one-star book review, but I'm going to give this book 0.5 out of 5 stars. It's certainly the lowest rating that you can get. Otherwise, you know, to get lower than this, I've literally got to read the first 2 pages of the book and then throw it across the room in disgust. This is, like I say, this is literally one of the books that's made me so angry. It actually made me so angry, put me in a bad mood, that my girlfriend had to tell me to shut up because I was moaning about it so much and kept complaining about it and pointing out crap stuff in the book as well. So that's it. I've gone on far too long again. I promise, though, I'm not going to go on so long about bad books. But in this, I guess I've reviewed not just this book, but other Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson Dune books. So I'm never going to have to go back and talk about these. So if you ever want to know about what I think about them, just come back and listen to this review again. The next book I'm going to read, actually, I'm going to go back and read the original Dune book by Frank Herbert. Because, you know, I've read it a few times before. I know I've read it at least twice, maybe 3 times, but not for about 7 or 8 years. But I'm going to read it and just get to grips with it and make sure that there's enough going on in it that makes me happy, that I can feel good about the Dune series again and get some good memories from this book. So that's it. Email me if you've got any suggestions, luke@juggler.net, that's right. Any book ideas that you want me to read that you think I might enjoy, any books that you think I shouldn't read, or maybe you can trick me and get me to read a bad book, and if you enjoy some of the bad reviews that I give. I don't know. Anyway, feedback, comments, anything else, email me, luke@juggler.net. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. See you next time.